This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, everyone, welcome to Charlton Live, the big match preview. It's Thursday the 18th of April. My name is Tom Wallin, and joining me in the studio to look back at Freddie Alverstad's goal in a 2-1 win over Djurgården, over IFK Gothenburg's Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nate?
Living at a good moment. It feels like, you know when, a lot of people relate to this, you know when your mum and dad go away on holiday and you get a free house?
Yeah.
Because Louis's away. We're just going to have a big party. What it feels like, but we're not. It's just a tour.
We could do. Did you see the Djurgården game on Monday?
No.
No? Ah, that's a shame.
I could tell that you did.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, didn't see the game. But
Blatantly got a season ticket or something. Fly over there.
I'll let you all into my little mind. I was at the gym Monday, walking home, and listening to Charlton Live, actually. Sunday's Charlton Live, which I thought was excellent. And
thank you.
Senses popped up, thought, I think there might be a Djurgården game going on. Check live score. There it is, 1-0, Alverstad. We ended Luton's 28-game run, didn't we? And hunting down the top two, 10 games unbeaten. But I'll be honest, my week only got really good when that Charlton legend bagged a goal on Monday.
That's strong, that is.
Have you seen the goal?
No.
Tell you, 6 yards out, bullet header.
Clinical.
Stuff of dreams. Anyway, moving on. As you didn't watch it, I guess we'll talk about Charlton. We've got a few things coming up. We'll hear from Igor Vetekele following his goal against Luton last weekend. Discuss the season ticket announcement this week. Talk about Men's Health Awareness Day, which is going to take place on the day of the Scunthorpe game. Hear from Jim Dutton on the importance of getting PSA tested. It's something he did when the testing happened last time. And then we'll start to look ahead to Oxford. We will hear from David Pritchard, the chief sports writer at the Oxford Mail. And of course, we'll hear from Lee Bowyer ahead of tomorrow's trip to Oxford. But as I say, we will start with Igor Vetekele. He spoke after Saturday's 3-1 victory at home to Luton last week. And he started by describing the afternoon as a special one.
It was pretty special. We got down 0-1. First half, and second half we gave everything and we came back and we won the game. But it was a very good week for us, and everyone's happy with the 9 points this week.
And obviously it gives Charlton, takes Charlton to within 3 points now of that top two. And a month ago people might not have thought we had any chance of getting into the automatic promotion places, but we've got as good a chance as anyone now.
Yeah, we do have, but we just have to focus on ourselves and try to win the remaining games, and then we'll see for the rest.
Is it a case of just making sure you win as many games as possible to maybe put a little bit of pressure on those teams above us? We've seen some points again today.
It is. It's not really in our hands, so all we have to do is try to win every game that's left, and that's going to put pressure on the other teams.
And obviously coming into today, we knew that Luton were on this unbeaten run, 28-game unbeaten run, but not many teams have come to the Valley and got a result this season. So were you confident going into today?
Of course, I think everyone was confident. We're a very good team at home, away also, but I think at home we got that little bit extra, and when we can get the fans behind us, we're a very difficult team to beat.
What did you... The big talking point in the first half, the challenge by the goalkeeper on you. Lee's come in and said it was a definite red. What was your assessment of it?
Well, I'm not a referee, so I don't make the rules. I've been told that I didn't have the ball anymore, so it was not a goal-scoring opportunity. So it's not much I could do about that.
Do you accept that, though? Do you think that's the correct call? Because you kicked it, that it shouldn't count as a red card offence?
I could think a lot of things, but my opinion doesn't count. So as a player, you need to focus on the game and try to continue, but am I okay with it? No, but...
Yeah, just got accepted.
Yeah, yeah.
So, with your goal, great run by Christian before that, wins possession, doesn't he, and slides you in. It's a really neat finish. You must have been pleased, a big, big moment to turn the game around.
Yeah, very pleased. Missed a couple of chances before, but yeah, it was a perfect opportunity to score and get 2-1 up.
Do you, in terms of the football at the moment, how much is this the most you've enjoyed it at Charlton, or would you say there's other periods of your Charlton career you've enjoyed more? Because you're getting games now. Lee's talking about the fact you're getting fitter after your shoulder injury and sort of coming back into the side. How do you kind of view things?
Got a couple of moments that I enjoyed, like for example the first month when I came here, but I'm definitely enjoying now also. For me, coming from far with that shoulder injury and just needed games to get back on the level where I wanted to be, and I'm playing more games now and getting more game time, so it's easier to get at the level where I need to be.
Do you, in terms of the partnership with Lyle, that's working well as well, isn't there? There was a bit of pressure, obviously, with Carlin going for someone to step in, and it looks like you've taken the opportunity.
Yeah, well, I wasn't worried about that because we've played a couple of games in pre-season with Lyle and it was going very well. So I was confident that we were going to find each other on the pitch, and Lyle's a good player, so am I. So we're doing our best week in, week out.
What do you make of Lyle's contribution this season? I think that's 21 goals for him now. I mean, as a striker, I guess it'd be the same for you probably at the start of the season. If you were playing every week, you'd be looking at the 20 goal mark, wouldn't you?
I don't know. Well, I don't know about that, but it's a very important player for Charlton, and he's getting us a lot of goals and points. So everyone is happy with his contribution for the team.
What about your own future? Do you think about that too much in terms of what you think could happen for you? Is there a potential future for you here at Charlton?
I've got a family, so of course I think about my future, but for me the most important thing now is trying to get promotion with Charlton, and we'll take it from there.
Would you talk to the club first, or would you wait for them to come to you? How would it normally
work? At the moment, I don't know how the situation is, so like I said, I'm going to focus on the target for Charlton, and we'll see in a couple of weeks.
Do you think beating a team like Luton, 28 games unbeaten, it's obviously you're flying along as a team as well, 11 unbeaten. It's, you seem in a really, really good place as a team. Do you think that can carry on, that can have an impact on the playoffs if that's where you end up in the end?
It can. It gives us a massive boost and gives us confidence. It shows that we are capable of beating top teams, and that's what we're going to have to try to do if you want to get promotion.
Igor Vetekele there speaking after the 3-1 win against Luton at the weekend. Nathie mentioned there the need to concentrate on ourselves. Obviously, as fans, we're not doing that. We're all dreaming of the top two. But how important do you think it is for players to focus on themselves? And how easy do you think it is for Boya to kind of keep the players grounded and keep them focused?
Yeah, it's going to... I think it's important that we do stay, like you say, stay grounded. Because at the end of the day, it only takes one, you know, one slip or one lapse in concentration in a game, and you could be winning. So, like for example, tomorrow we could be 1-0 up, could be cruising, lapse in concentration, then you drop 2 points, and then all of a sudden that top two's looking probably unlikely. So, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but obviously we be confident. I think we have every right to be confident. That, you know, be 11 unbeaten now, and. But yeah, we just need to take Oxford, and then let's not look too far ahead, because I think Oxford is probably the trickiest game, I think, out of the remaining games. But I think it'll be a telling sign come sort of Monday evening on where, you know, what we're going to be able to do, I think, and possibly even on Sunday. So yeah, I think Boya's been doing it all season. He hasn't got been carried away. He's always said we're aiming for top two, even when... You know, me, myself, there was a point, I think it was like 10 points off. Mm. I thought it was a bridge too far, and we've closed that gap. So, one game at a time, and we don't want to get too carried away, because what you don't want is start getting complacent, start getting too arrogant. You want that swagger, but not too much.
Igor's performances, we've spoken about him before. I think we've seen him improve week on week. Where he improved, I'm not sure. I know me and Louis, there were a couple of times where I thought he was there and Louis wasn't sure, but I think we probably all agree now he's certainly getting closer. How close was the performance of the weekend to the Eagle we first saw in the Championship, do you think?
it's closer. I still think there's still two, three games off him, I think, to see what he was like. I mean, for fans who didn't see him with that first game at Brentford away, it was a striker of strength, of hard work, of someone who was clinical. And he's just been really, you know, he's been blighted by injuries and sort of not been at the club. And it's just a shame, really, because I think if this was, say, I don't know, January, I think it would be really, really positive. And I just think the season's ending just as he's starting to kick on a little bit, which is a shame. But listen, I've been an Igor fan for ages, and I know when we was playing him when he wasn't fit, and we were saying, oh, do we give Parker a go because he is fit? And it's like, well, the only way he's going to get sharper is if you give him match time. You can run around the training ground for hours and hours and then, but match fitness is where it counts. And I think from the Plymouth game, when we were down there, he looked like he started getting into the groove again, and then obviously the Wickham game, and then obviously on Saturday. So yeah, he's looking good at the moment, but he just now he's got that sort of, you know, that hunch off his shoulder or whatever it is, you know, and he's got that little goal in his bank. Hopefully he'll kick on there, but, you know, we've only got a couple of games left, hopefully. But yeah, he's getting there, but there's still a while off for me.
Yeah, you mentioned Josh Parker there, and Boya was asked about Igor in the press conference today. We'll hear about that in a second, but he also talks about him and Josh Parker and their kind of competition for places. You mentioned there about maybe the season finishing too early, and Igor was asked about his future. He was fairly coy and said the right things. He's thinking about promotion at the moment. I mean, firstly, do you think he's earned the new contract? Secondly, do you think we'll offer him one? And then thirdly, do you want to keep him?
It's hard to say if he's earned it, because, I mean, he's been out a long time. And yeah, by, you know, as much as I'm happy with the last three games or whatever it is, he's been, you know, really good. Would you say he's earned it? Probably not. But that's not any disservice to Igor. It's just he's played a handful of games. Will he get offered one? I think if we're in this league, probably not. I don't think we'll be able to afford him. I would imagine he's probably in one of the higher echelons of our wage structure, considering we did get him on championship wages. If we did stay in this league or indeed go up, and who knows what's around the corner? You don't know. I mean, like you said, he's got a newborn baby and a young baby, so he's going to be looking out for a family. Will he want to stay in London? Will he want to settle? Will he want to go back to, you know, sort of Denmark or France? Who knows? But hopefully we can go up, and then, because I still think he can do a job. I just think he needs that full pre-season, no breakdown and injury, and then we'll see what happens. But
so if we got to the championship and it was up to you, you'd be offering him a deal?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I mean, if you look at the whole situation, if we do let him go and we do have Lyle, I mean, realistically, how are we going to be able to get two free strikers with the money that Bowie will be given with the current ownership? I don't think you're going to get many.
Yeah.
If you look at the youth team, there are people coming in or coming up, but are they championship ready? No. So I think he would be a good sort of pedigree for the championship. I'm not saying he's going to go banging 30 goals. Wish he did. But I think definitely he's worth a punt. But I think if we don't go up, I don't think he'll be here.
Well, the gaffer was asked about Igor's performances, as I say, in today's press conference. And he started by discussing what he puts Igor's change in form down to. So we'll just hear from Boya now.
Hard work. I think if you work hard, you get rewarded. That's any player. You've always had to be patient, obviously. We had Lyle and Carl doing well. He was unlucky with his shoulder, and he came back and wasn't fair really to just throw him in the deep end, but we had no choice. And I think with games he's got fitter, and obviously his movement is improving, he's looking sharper, so yeah, he's doing well.
When you first came across him on your arrival, did you find a player short of confidence?
Yeah, obviously he'd been away a long time, hadn't he? And the first time I actually see him properly was, I think, when we played QPR pre-season away. And he scored a good goal. I thought, OK, this could work. But then again, then he got injured against Wedding. And he was out for maybe 6 weeks, fell behind. And he's just been playing catch-up all ever since, really, with his fitness. Then like he came back from that, and then he done his shoulder, and then he went out. And so he's been in and out, really, most of the season. But thankfully, we've got his fitness up, and he's looking sharp, you know. Like he's, and I think Saturday he was outstanding. Each game seems to be getting better and better. I think on the Tuesday against Wickham, he was very good. So yeah, I think each game he's getting better and better, and getting fitter, and that shows. So I'm happy.
What have you and the coaches done to replenish that lost confidence in him?
Nothing really. Like he understands the situation we're in, and as a footballer, you're always being watched. He got his contracts up in the summer. He has to do well. Otherwise, no one will take him. That's the reality of football. So, yeah, he has to do well for himself. But first of all, if he does well for us, then it's putting him on the radar, and he's got this opportunity. And I said to him, if you have this opportunity, go and grab it. Like, go and grab it with both hands. And that's what he's doing. But made him do extra running and sharper stuff, sprints, and said to him, what I've been telling all the other strikers, don't get marks in the box. And he's doing well. He's naturally good in the air. And physically he's good, holds the ball up well. So that's something that we didn't have with Carlin. So, okay, we might have lost the threat down the sides, but he's brought something different to us. So we have to adapt to the way he plays, but he's starting to run in behind a bit as well, and so yeah, he's done well since he's got fit. I think he's done well. In the beginning, when he first came back in, it was tough for him. He hadn't played for a long, long time, and to come in and then everyone expects you to be hit the ground running, it takes time, you know. So yeah, he's done well though. I'm happy with the place he's at the moment.
Are his fitness levels now what you demand from the rest of the players?
Yeah, yeah. And that, I think you can see that in his performance. Your fitness is the most important thing, because if you can't run around, you're no good to anybody, no matter how good you are. So, especially as a striker, you need to be able to run away from your defenders. So, on Tuesday night, I think he won headers and then got onto his own flicks. So, yeah, I'd say his fitness is the most important thing for him, and to maintain that. So, and then he will score more goals.
Igor said that he knew he could prove himself alongside Lyle Taylor. Do you share that optimism?
Yeah, that's up to him. It's up to him. If he wants to work hard, and he's obviously got ability, scores goals. I think before he had the injuries when he first arrived, everyone kept telling me how good he was, and he was scoring for fun. I think he could have scored a few more. Like, even when we put him on at times, I think he's missed a couple of headers earlier on in the season. And apparently that's his strong point. Like, he's good in the air. So, but now I'm excited, because I'm seeing a player that I've heard so much about. And to be fair to Igor, he's worked hard to get to that stage. And a lot of his hard work and obviously his fitness, and we can keep him fit between now and the end of the season. I have no doubt he'll score goals, because we do create chances.
Is it like having a new signing in the camp?
Yeah, you could say that. But he's always been here, but he's just never really been fit. So, and again, because he wasn't playing regular because of the other two that was doing well, then it was tough for him, you know. To keep your fitness up, playing 10, 15 minutes here and there, it's not been enough, but to get them 90 minutes under his belt is definitely improving because of that.
Lee Bowyer there speaking today and indicating that perhaps the 90 minutes or the regular 90 minute games have helped Igor play his way right back into form. Moving on, said we mentioned season tickets, they're back on sale this week. Season ticket holders will have been getting emails and handouts and various things. The cheapest remains in the lower north where you and I are, Nath, £210. I think the family stand is the same. Slight increase, and then up to £520 in the middle of the East and West, which are the most expensive. It says you need to renew by the 6th of May for early bird, but there's no indication of the prices after that. What do you make of the prices, Nath? I haven't researched other clubs, but I came out earlier in the week and said, despite the fact it's a slight, fairly low increase, to me it seems short-sighted to be raising prices at this stage. But then again, are we surprised? Am I wrong, or does it make sense to you to be raising prices?
I think in an ideal world, if we end up getting Championship football and I'm paying £210, I ain't going to grumble. And listen, I think season tickets, I don't think they generate a huge amount in terms of revenue, in terms of like our budget and all that sort of stuff. But I think if you're asking to pay a little bit more, I think you're expecting a little bit more in the background as well, in terms of Bowyer getting some help, or getting a little bit more in terms of budget. But we probably know what the answer to that's going to be at this current climate. And that's my sort of grumble, really. I don't mind paying. I'd pay probably a lot of money to see this team play, because that's what I love. But I think it needs to go hand in hand with the intent of the, you know, upstairs spending money as well, because I think it's a joint thing. Do you know, it's like a joint venture for me. But I can't see it. But I think £210 for Championship football, which we are finishing second, aren't we, really? but no, I think you can't really grumble. But listen, if people want to pay it, I know there's a lot of going around in terms of some people don't want to pay out and give Roland money, blah, blah, blah. Listen, everyone does what they want to do and how they spend their own money. So I'm game for it, so I'll be doing it.
Good stuff. It's one of those ongoing things, I guess, as well. As I say, it's a bigger problem than just our club. But as you say, you'll pay because you love the club. And unfortunately, or fortunately, if you're a football owner, you're always going to have those people that come in. So effectively, you can charge what you want. As I say, it might depend on what happens after the 6th of May, certainly whether we're up or not and what those price rises are. But I still, like you, think that £210 ticket is certainly pretty good value for money. Moving on, our game on Monday at home to Scunthorpe is Men's Health Awareness Day. And as part of that day, the fans can have a PSA blood test at the stadium. Last year, the club became the first to host PSA testing on a match day, and over 300 people got tested. And the test can help diagnose problems including prostate cancer, which is the most common cancer in men. The test is aimed at men over 45, and anyone being tested will be asked for a £5 donation. Now, of the 300 people tested last year, 10 received red letters, and one of those was Jim Dutton. You might know him on Twitter as James Seed, or it's Jimmy Seed's grandson. I caught up with him today to discuss the process and the importance of being tested, and he started by telling me why he went along in the first place.
Well, I'd signed up for the Prostate Cancer UK ride to Amsterdam, more as a cycling challenge than anything else. It's just I needed to get going again, and I hadn't been on the bike for a few months. So it turned out that I was at the Valley on the day of the prostate cancer tests, because we had a team picture taken on the pitch. So I thought, well, while I was there, I might as well have the test, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have a family history of prostate cancer or anything else. I'm not exactly symptom-free, so I have a sort of underlying worry. So I just went up, had the test, which literally only took 30 seconds to a minute, and I forgot all about it after that, actually.
And for anybody who's worried about the test itself, I mean, you say it only takes 30 seconds. What is it, just a pinprick?
No, it's more than a pinprick. They take blood.
Okay.
So it's a syringe in the arm, simple blood test, literally 30 seconds, if that, to be honest, and it's painless.
Okay, great. And then I understand that you then received a letter, so kind of just tell us a little bit about what happened after the test.
A few weeks later, I received the letter, and apparently I was a red case, which meant that my PSA test was, the results were quite high, and they advised me to go immediately, even on the same day I received the letter, for a test, to go and see my GP to be referred to a specialist. And it's actually quite scary, to be honest.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, no, I did go and see the GP, and I was very lucky, actually. On the day that I received the letter, or the day that I went to see the GP, the government's body advising on these things, called NICE, had ruled that anybody with a high PSA reading now has a right to have an MRI scan rather than a more invasive biopsy.
Okay.
So, I armed with that information, I requested an MRI scan, and I think within 2 weeks I had an MRI scan, and very luckily for me, it showed that I didn't have cancer. I just had an enlarged prostate, which they advised me to, you know, keep an eye on. They said I should have another PSA test, which I'm going to do in the next couple of weeks, just to make sure it's simple. It's a simple enlarged prostate. And an enlarged prostate, you know, can cause issues as you get older, but there are ways of managing that, lots of different ways, and there are lots of new treatments as well. So long term, I won't say my problems are over, but yeah, it's a good result for me.
And I guess the scary thing would be that up until that blood test, there wasn't any noticeable symptoms or anything that you were aware of that had flagged to you the need to go, I guess, to have that test in the first place.
Well, basically, a couple of my work colleagues at ITV News had prostate issues. One of them turned out had prostate cancer and had his prostate removed. The other was like me, had an enlarged prostate, but he had more severe symptoms, so he had a prostate reduction performed by a robot surgery.
Right.
Using the Da Vinci machine, which highly recommended. It's the way they treat the disease in America. It's far less invasive than the normal treatments you have now. But, you know, you don't need to have symptoms to be tested. You don't need a family history. Everybody should get tested if they're over 50, because the key is getting treatment early. It's far more treatable if you catch it in the early stages. And it's a relatively straightforward procedure, whichever treatment you have. So that's the first thing. You know, it doesn't matter if you're fit, have a good diet, or anything. It's it's a fairly random disease. Although, you know, there are slight concerns. If you have it in the family, you're 10% more likely to have prostate cancer than if you don't.
Brilliant. And so I guess there, your final message there is, anyone debating getting tested this weekend, just do it, because, as you say, it's just better to get it done and get the news, whatever it is, than for that to go unnoticed.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I was lucky in that I literally just walked through the fans bar, because I was had to meet someone from the ride there, and they were just doing the test as I walked past, and I thought, oh, what the hell? My son was with me, and I said, hey, look how brave I am, watch this, you know. And I'm really glad I did, because otherwise my symptoms would have got gradually worse, and I'd be worried, and, you know, at least I know now exactly what the situation is. And I believe one or two people who went along to the test at the Valley had confirmed and had issues and had successful treatment. So, you know, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Callum, with this corner on the near side, love it to Pearce. Yeah! Oh, it's good header, and it's Bellick with the header. Thought it was going towards Pearce. It went instead to the Arsenal loanee, who's buried his first goal in a Charlton shirt, and Charlton now have a 2-1 lead with only 3 minutes left of normal time.
And they've been putting Southend under pressure for the last 2 or 3 minutes, and Cullen's corners all game have been excellent, but a lot of them have been deep towards the back post. Not that time, it was swung in hard and low towards the near.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Post. Billick made a brilliant run, got away from his man and thundered a header into the near post. Oxley had no chance in the south end goal. And with, what, 2.5 minutes left, Charlton have regained the lead and lead here 2-1.
Charlton Live. Thanks to Jim there for interrupting his holiday for us. The PSA testing, if you do want to go along, it's undertaken by the Barry Kilby Prostate Cancer Appeal. It'll be available from 11:45 to 2:45 in the fans bar, which is at the back of the North Stand. And obviously just a reminder that that is on Monday's game, not tomorrow, which is taking place at Oxford. And that's what we're going to look ahead to now. Earlier this week, I spoke to David Pritchard, the chief sports writer at the Oxford Mail. And he started by telling me that the Addicts are coming up against an in-form Oxford side.
Well, you actually are coming to us with Oxford in their best position of the season by some way, which is 12th. They started the season kind of with hopes of getting in the playoff mix, I suppose. That was pretty quickly extinguished, having picked up, I think it was 5 points from the first 11 games, which left them bottom. They then sort of strung together a decent run, which included the draw at the Valley, before hitting the wall at Christmas. Losing run over there sort of sent them back into the bottom four. And then they have steadily kind of worked their way back out of it and then really sort of hit the accelerator in the last 6 weeks or so. I think they've won six of the last nine, which sort of ended their relegation concerns. So they are in this fairly unusual position of having a month to go and having sort of four games now, with the pressure off and sort of being able to look ahead to next season and maybe trying out one or two things. So they're probably, I suppose, they're the sort of team everyone wants to play at this point, but the pressure's off a little bit. And we saw on Saturday, although they didn't win, they played some good stuff. And I guess it can go one or two ways when you don't have anything really sort of tangible to play for. You either sort of are on the beach or the lack of pressure means you can kind of be a bit more expressive, and that's what we saw on Saturday. It has been a bit of a grind in recent weeks, but they have got the results, and then they were a little bit played with a bit more flair, which I think, you know, is obviously what Carl Robinson wants his teams to play. So it should be a good game this Friday.
I think one of the things from our perspective, we played Luton at the weekend, who obviously were coming off a 28 game unbeaten run, and
yeah,
Charlton fans we spoke to were much more confident about that game than they are on Friday, given the recent run of Oxford as well. And obviously, as you mentioned there, Carl Robinson coming up against a former manager. What do they make of Carl Robinson, the fans? Our frustration under him tended to be his 4-2-3-1 and his stubborn refusal really to change this up. Mm. But you mentioned there about the flair, and I saw articles from your paper this week from Messina and Mark Sykes both saying they're being rewarded by expansive play. Is that something that he has changed up?
Yeah, I mean, actually, he ditched the 4-2-3-1 when they were at that point where they'd only picked up 5 points from 11 games, and it was sort of a kind of, we've got to try something else. And he went to a 4-3-3, which actually has served them pretty well. And he sort of tinkered a little bit. They were 4-2-3-1 last week. But then 4-3-3 against Wimbledon. So yeah, he has shown a little bit of more kind of flexibility tactically this season. I know that was a sort of frustration with you guys, and we had that at the start of this season as well. But I think probably the sort of results that they were having, I mean, admittedly, there were mitigating factors in terms of injuries and things like that, but it did force him to kind of do something a bit different. He has definitely, this season, he has come under more pressure than he's had at any other time in his career. And he is only just now, you know, a year into the job, kind of starting to win some people round again. You know, he has come under plenty of pressure from the terraces. What has helped him is he was kind of brought in when there was a takeover here just over a year ago, and he was kind of the first big decision that the new owners made. So he has been there, very much their man, or his man, and I think that has bought him a bit more time. They certainly seem to be kind of a bit more quite sort of understanding of the problems that he's faced this season. So, but then, you know, he was shortlisted for Manager of the Month for March, and I think quite the reaction to that story was, you know, was quite a lot of fans saying, you know, I've had a go at him all season, but you know, fair play, he has, you know, got us out of the mess. So he's starting to, you know, as ever with these things, results are king, aren't they? And if he starts, I think probably the first kind of 10 games next season will kind of define how his time at Oxford goes. You know, if they get off to a bad start again, the questions will resurface. If he gets off to a good one, then, you know, I think Oxford fans are perfectly happy to swallow their pride and get behind him.
And do you think he'll be given funds to expand in the summer? I mean, we were mentioning just before the interview that Oxford have obviously been served another winding up petition by the landlords for unpaid rent. Mm. Suggests perhaps that he's going to have his hands slightly tied and there's a bit of an issue there. Is that something that could hamper him over the summer? And has that been kind of hampering him this season as well?
Yeah, I think, well, there have been repeated sort of off-field issues in terms of cash flow. And so the takeover they had was from a gentleman from Thailand who was involved with Reading before. A lot of their issues appear to have been moving the money from the Far East into the country. We had this, they had problems paying their staff a couple of weeks ago, and that was all down to, well, according to the club, that the money was moved in time, but there were issues with checks and things from the banking system that delayed matters. I mean, they have had several winding up petitions that have been settled fairly quickly. The money seems to be there. It just seems to be just not getting there on time. I mean, from Cole's point of view, that side of things doesn't help, especially when he was among those that was paid late. However, he has had, I think, well, he has said the eighth biggest budget in League One. The chairman said a couple of weeks ago that may be reduced slightly going forward. So, I mean, if it's eighth, maybe they have more of a kind of mid-table budget next season, which obviously makes things a little more difficult, but it should still be competitive.
Okay. He's not the only connection between the two clubs as well. I know you had Ricky Holmes earlier this season, who's now out, I think, on loan. But also Atme Kashi, who got sent off the other week. Will he be back for the game? And if so, how have they kind of reacted to Kashi as a player?
Yeah, I would imagine he'd be back. It was only a one-game ban, and it was, I don't know if you're aware of the sort of circumstances.
Yeah, was he sent off for running back on the pitch as a sub or something?
That's right, yeah. He'd been booked in the game at Walsall and was taken off because he looked like he could be a candidate for a second yellow card. And then Oxford went through in the last seconds and scored to win 3-1, and him and another sub ran on in jubilation to go and celebrate in with the away fans, obviously. That's a yellow card offence, and Cassie gets a red card. So, but actually, I mean, he came in as a January signing, and at that point, Carl was under quite a lot of pressure, and it looks like it was sort of jobs for the boys a little bit.
Yeah.
And it definitely took Cassie a little while. He had a virus when he came over, or went fairly quickly after coming over. So it took a while for us to really see what sort of player he was. But in this run, they had a run of four successive wins, which ended at the weekend. And Kashi was fantastic in those games. And people, and actually, funny enough, the manner of his red card, sort of the passion that he showed. And he can do no wrong at the moment with supporters. And I think that, I mean, Carl's already said that they'd love to bring him back on a permanent deal in the summer. And I don't think anyone would be unhappy about that. He's been very good for us.
Great. And then just looking ahead to the game, anyone else in terms of danger men that Charlton should be wary of? Who are the fans going to be looking out for?
I think probably a couple that may... Well, Gavin White, who fans who were at the Valley that night will probably remember his goal for Oxford. He's back, had a little niggle recently, was outstanding on Saturday against Wimbledon. He's a right winger, still pretty raw. He's come out of Northern Ireland football last summer, which is any sort of semi-pro level, but he's really made the step up and has played full senior internationals this season. So I'd expect him to continue down the right. Another one, it's sort of his under-21 colleague, Mark Sykes. I think he's someone who, he's an attacking midfielder. Him and White link up fantastically well. And I think with this sort of five-game season that they've got with the pressure off, I think he is someone that they will look to give a run to with a view to kind of getting him set for next season.
Yeah.
He came over in January, another one from Northern Ireland. Has had sort of fairly limited opportunities so far, but looks a real talent as well. So there would be two. Obviously, Cashy you know about. Up front, they've got a lad, Jerome Sinclair, who's on loan from Watford. He arrived with a very underwhelming goals return, but he is starting to. He's got four goals since the end of January. He's been quite important for Oxford as well. So, I think it should be a good game. I know Carl's looking forward to it. He was already talking to him, talking about it after the final whistle on Saturday. I know he sort of keeps a close eye on what's going on at the Valley, and he's still in touch with, you know, Lee Bowie and Johnny Jackson and things. So, it should be a good one.
David Pritchard there from the Oxford Mail, saying that Carl is definitely looking forward to this, and I don't think we're particularly surprised about that. Nath, how much of a threat could Oxford be? We've spoke about it earlier and we've talked about it for a few weeks. We see this as perhaps the place we might slip up.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult game without sort of banging the same drum that, you know, that Bowyer does. It's, you know, every game at this point of the season is going to be tough. Gillingham's going to be tough. Scunthorpe is going to be tough. But it's just, you know, it's ironic really that the hardest game that I think it will be, which will be tomorrow, is a team that hasn't really got anything to play for. And it probably would be the other way, you'd think. It'd be one of the easiest ones. But with Robbo being there, it's going to add a bit of spice. He's, you know, he'll get on with Bowes, but he's going to want to win a game, you know, and he's entitled. He's not just going to roll over and just let us win just because he used to manage the club. And we know Robbo's not like that, and I wouldn't expect him to. So it could be a tricky game. They've got some good players, like Jerome Sinclair and stuff. He was obviously at Sunderland. But yes, it'd be difficult. But if we play the way that we know we can, we could beat anyone.
Is he going to spoil the game again? Because here he kind of set up very defensively, tried to just kind of minimise our threat as much as he can. Can you see him doing that again? And, you know, would he feel a 0-0 or a 1-1? He'd be happy with that? Or do you think he's going to come out and play, being at home and with the new expansive play that David spoke about there that they've seen in recent weeks? Is that going to encourage him to try and do that more, do you think?
I don't really see what he's going to gain from it by trying to he's obviously going to try and nullify our strengths like you do on every game, but I think he'll have a go. I don't think there's no point in playing for a draw. I mean, what's the point? I know he probably won't want to lose against us, but they're at home, they've got nothing to lose, they've got no pressure, they can go out and, like you say, be expansive, be expressive, and I think they will do that, and I think that probably might play into our hands if they are too expansive and too attacking, because we can pick teams off. But he did put someone on Josh Cullen in the home leg here, which I would imagine it'll be interesting to see what he does, especially if he puts Ahmed on Johnny, because we know how good Ahmed is. But yeah, it's going to be a good game, you know. He's not going to just let us win and roll over, that's for sure.
How much do you read into the early kickoff and whether that will play a part? Because we're kicking off at 1 o'clock, Barnsley at home to Shrewsbury at 3, Portsmouth away to Burton at 3 o'clock, that's not an easy game, and Sunderland a late kickoff at Doncaster Rovers. So come the end of the day, that second place could change hands several times throughout the day. Do you read anything into that, or for us is it just about get those 3 points on the board and then just wait and see what happens?
Yeah, exactly. I think you can't really read too much into it, and at the end of the day, if you win your games, I don't know. Well, I'm just looking now. We won't. We'll go joint second, I think, won't we?
But yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But I think Barnsley got some superior goal difference by 10 goals or something. Mm. But listen, if we do, you know, if we do get the 3 points, it will certainly put a pressure on them lot. And I'd rather be playing early than looking back going, oh, Charlton, I've got to win there, boys. There's another bit of pressure. So I'd rather be playing early. But, you know, it's the same old thing getting said, I know, but we just got to win our games. Win our games, that's all we could do. We win 4 out of 4 and we finish third. You know, that's we've done as much as we could at this point in the season. So,
and you've got to think that if we don't beat Oxford, then our chances of the top two are over anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah, you'd think
as
so.
As you say, try and concentrate on ourselves. To look ahead from the game, from a Charlton perspective, obviously Bowyer did his press conference today and he was asked about the game and whether it was, again, a potential banana skin for his side.
Yeah, I think all games now between now and the end of the season are banana skins. It's no easy one. But that's not just for us, that's for everybody. Everybody's in the same boat. We're all trying to chase that second spot. I think Luton are done, Luton are go up. So it's four teams chasing the second spot. And all we can do is just be there. And if they don't capitalise on their opportunity that they have, that's all three of them above us. And then we will be there to grab it. I have no doubt of that.
Any injury doubts?
No, we're fine. We're all good. Nothing's changed for us. So we've had near enough a 4 week of preparation. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
And finally, any more developments on your contract situation?
Yeah, we're just negotiating. They put something to me, but it wasn't right. So that's what happens in these situations. But I'm sure that we'll get there in the end. But that's not my focus at the minute. My focus is just winning the last 4 games.
Would you like it all done up, tied up before the end of the season?
What, my contract?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm not even... I'm focusing on that. That's the least of my worries. So I've no doubt that we'll get there in the end. So, but these games are going to come thick and fast, and my focus needs to be on that.
Lee Bowyer, thank you very much.
Really?
Hi.
Just looking back on the weekend, the Luton game, was that the best performance of the season, do you think?
Yeah, it has to be. Completely different performance. I thought on Tuesday night against Wickham, I thought we was outstanding because of the physicality and what we had to step up to. But Saturday was a completely different challenge. Playing against a team that's going to go up, that's going to win the league. And I don't know how many games have been unbeaten, but I thought we was better than them from start to finish. Did they create some chances in the first half, hitting us on the break? Yes. But they're top of the league and they score goals from all over the park. So they're always going to create chances. They're a good side. And like I said after the game, from the first minute, I thought we was on top. Then they scored, it's on the break, and we was unlucky there. And we went in half-time and undeservingly behind. And I said that to the lads and I didn't think there was much to tell them to do anything different because we was winning the ball back high and quickly and we created chances ourselves, you know, low with the bar first half. So it was pretty much going to do the same again, and if anything the back four had to just get a bit tighter when we was attacking because it was like we was at our weakest when we was attacking. So once we sorted that out, then I can't really remember Dylan having a save to make second half. And I thought we dominated it and we moved the ball very, very well. And could have scored a couple more.
And obviously, you said you've had to adapt the style of play now that with Carl and Garner and Eagle coming in. Do you think you're playing better as a team now than you were at the start of the season because of an unbeaten run of, what, 11, 12 games?
No, I wouldn't say we're playing better now. I think the difference is now we've got a full squad. We haven't had that all season. Like the midfield, since January, I think the midfield that we started with on Saturday was only the third time since January when Johnny came in that they've played together. So, no, I don't think it's that. I just think we've been so unlucky with injuries and a lot of them. And it just shows that how well the squad have done to keep us in and around it coming into the stage we're in now. And now everyone's back. It just shows that our recruitment in the summer was good.
So looking forward to Oxford, obviously, up against Carl. When they came here last time, they tried to nullify your by matching your formation.
Yeah.
Is that something you look at to them, or do you just concentrate on your own game?
No, we just do what we do. And then 90% of football, people get carried away in formations and all the other stuff. That the most important thing is that you do the right things as players. 90% of football is off the cuff, because I can't tell the players, right, you're going to be in this situation on this minute and you're going to have two players close. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where the ball's going to drop. So they have to anticipate it and they have to be ready. And the training we do, we try to prepare them for all situations, whether they're in a tight situation, whether they've got time on the ball. And then you just hope that the work that we've been doing with them makes them make the right decision when they're in them situations. And that's what football is about. You play these formations and you try and get an edge on someone here and there. But there's nothing that we can do apart from work on a training ground to make the players make the right decision. And that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. When we get to the final third, are you going to pick someone out or are you just going to keep hitting the defender? If you keep hitting the defender, we ain't going to score goals. So, and that doesn't matter what formation you play.
And speaking of the squad for this weekend, obviously Lewis Page and Jake played maybe this week. Did you get a chance to watch them? How did they play and have they got a chance to make in this weekend?
Yep, I watched them. That was on Tuesday. I think it was a perfect game for Jake. The formation they played, Jake was able to sit in front of the back four and not really have too much pressure on him. Didn't give the ball away. So I think it was the perfect game for Jake to come back into. Got through 45 minutes with ease, I thought. I thought he coasted through the game. He looked very good. And Pagey was perfect for him, 1v1s against a winger. So, it was a good test for both of them, but in different ways. And I'm pleased that they've got that into them there. They've reacted okay, they're fine. So we've just got to keep working hard with them and hopefully they can be in and around the squad before the end of the season.
So this weekend will be too early for them?
Oh yeah, for sure, yeah.
there's an atmosphere around the club, isn't it? It seems to be obviously keep talking about the positivity around the club, and there seems to be an expectancy now to get promoted. Do you feel that expectancy or that pressure, and do the players feel it as well, either through automatic or the playoffs?
No, but this is what we've been pushing for from day one. I said, like, we're going for top two. Like, and people at the start of the season might have thought, yeah, well, you've got no chance, but we have got a chance, and I've always believed in the squad that we've put together. And whether we go up through automatic or not, or through the playoffs, then it doesn't matter how you get there. Would I be disappointed if we didn't go up? For sure, because we've worked hard and that's been our aim from the start. And if we don't, then I'll be devastated, because I believe that we're good enough to do it.
It's on that point, you've obviously beaten Pompey home and away. You picked a point against Sunderland, it should have been more maybe. And the Luton, you should have beaten their run. Is it, there's a part of you kick yourself that you see points that you've dropped earlier on in the season compared to where you are now?
I think a tough time for us was around that Christmas period, and I think we've had a couple of periods when we've had a lot of players out, and we've been Saturday, Tuesday, and we ain't had the players to rotate, and I think that's hurt us. Where, like last week, for instance, we went away to Plymouth, full squad, Wickham away Tuesday, and obviously home to Luton. We had a full squad and we come away with 9 points. I think that the results speak for itself when we're strong. But I think the Christmas time, when I think the only game we've lost this on the turn of the year, Fleetwood away, we had no strikers. Like, if you ain't got strikers, you ain't going to win games. Lowell was suspended, Carlin just got sold, and that's the only game we've lost. So there's been some situations that we've been in that has been difficult for us to cope with, you know. But what I would say is whenever we've gone onto the pitch, we've given 100%. No one can deny that. And the lads have been great, and we're in a situation now, a positive situation, that we're pushing for promotion, and I think we've got a very good chance of it.
Finally, the team of the year was announced earlier this week, and there wasn't a single Charlton player in it. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah, that's crazy, no? So who was in it?
John Marcus up top, a couple of Luton guys.
Yeah, I can understand Luton players, but you're telling me none of my players have been crazy. But whoever does these things, it's just a waste of time, man. Because you're telling me none of them players are. Josh Cullen. Tell me another better midfielder than Josh Cullen. That's played well. They're talking rubbish. They're flipping. Waste of time doing them things because people just pick who they want. So you're telling me none of my players are in the top 11? That's rubbish.
But yeah, there. Very pleased with the team of the year. I don't think he was the only one who was surprised. Looking ahead to that team, he's got a pick on Saturday. Sounds like it's going to be too soon for Jake and Lewis, but good to see them get some minutes this week, Lou. Nath?
Yeah. Did you just call me Lou?
No.
How dare you? I think it would be a bit too soon. But it was nice that they come through it unscathed, and Bowyer seemed like looked like they were a bit ahead of schedule, which is good. Saturday's going to be tricky because we've got, obviously, Saturday, Monday, not a Saturday, Tuesday.
Friday, Monday.
Friday, Monday. It's going to be quite interesting because we're going to try, I would imagine they'll have to freshen it up, especially players. I mean, I would play our strongest one first. I'd definitely play more or less the full strength, you know, your Billicks, your Cullens, your Johnnies, and who am I missing? And Aribo.
Yeah.
That's who I would play. And then Monday's game, that's probably where you probably try and get Lapsley in or something like that.
Prattley.
Yeah, I know that you're sort of begging that he comes in.
I suppose the first battle we'll talk about, as we have week on week, is Pierce versus Saar. And for them, it's more down to the style of the opposition. Do you know enough about either of these sides to know which way he might go with that?
Well, Jerome Sinclair's quite pacey, but he'll probably start on a wider berth and come inside if Cole does go for a 4-2-3-1, because he did shake it up and done a 4-4-2 diamond here. But I can imagine him going, especially if we continue to play quite narrow. Who knows? We might go for three at the back, but if we don't, if we go two, I think I'd probably keep Sarvin. He hasn't done anything wrong. For me, the only thing that worries me when we have Piercy and Bauer is that bit of pace, and if someone gets in behind us, Purin and Solly, we haven't really been blessed with pace at the back. So that's my only suggestion. But yeah, I'd keep Sarvin there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the midfield there. I guess the only question there might be around Bielik's testicles. Took a fair whack several times last weekend. Bo, you mentioned there that everybody seems fit. So for you think stick with that same 11 again. Obviously, Igor and Lyle up front, but that midfield really is where we could change it around. But you think just stick with your strongest, try and get the 3 points on Friday, and then if you can, then you look to rotate Monday?
That's what I do, even though, you know, you want to win your home games, your favourite games. But I think they're Without knowing too much in terms of the, you know, the height, I don't think they're a great set piece team, so it's not like you'd be thinking of bringing Prattley in or anything like that. But I think play your strongest team, if they're all fit, play your strongest, get the 3 points in the bag. Because what you don't want to do is start tinkering, not win the game, and then win all the others, and we lose out by a point, and you think, if only we didn't tinker on that game. So yeah, for me, I'd say get the 3 points in the bag, put the pressure on everyone below us. Above us, rather. But they would be below us if we win tomorrow for a couple of hours. And then, yeah, get those in the bag and then see where it takes us. For me.
Do you think when we come to Monday's game, do you reckon we will see Josh Parker? He's someone that Bo, you mentioned in the Eagle piece earlier, just that he wasn't really sure that he was the reason behind Igor's upturn in form. So do you think he's someone who you would see starting, or do you think if Igor just gets another 90 minutes under his belt, we've seen how tired he looks recently towards the end of the game, is what I'm thinking, whether maybe he'll get rested at any point?
Yeah, I mean obviously because we're playing obviously tomorrow, I think if Igor does another 70-75 minutes and we get 3 points in a bag, it's difficult, because obviously if Igor scores again, I can't see him dropping him, but yeah, you don't want to burn him out too much, so it could be an opportunity for Josh to come in. I think if we do win tomorrow, I think Monday we might see, I think, the Lapsleys and that come in a little bit more, because we're at home and we're probably, obviously we're favourites. So, but yeah, it wouldn't bother me. But if Igor goes and get two, I think you can't really drop him after that. So, and then if he starts Friday and then Monday, you're probably only going to get, 60 minutes out of him. So would you rather just give Parker the minutes, because he's not really played a lot? But who knows? But I mean, I'm just going to think of tomorrow first and make sure we win, because it's going to be a tricky game.
Hopefully the players will do the same. Couple of quick score predictions then, starting with the Oxford game.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win, Charlton.
Yeah. And Scunthorpe?
Scunthorpe, I'm going to go for a 3-0.
Be all right. 6 points out of six. That'll do very nicely over the Easter weekend. That's all we've got time for here on Charlton Live. Thank you very much for joining us. Cheers, Naif.
Much love.
Here's to the 6 points that Naif has predicted over the Easter weekend. Have a lovely Easter, everybody, and we will see you next week. See you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.